The Right Stand with Anand Narasimhan.
The Home Minister Amit Shah taking the right stand as per his point of view on a slew of questions fielded by Group Editor-in-Chief Rahul Joshi as Amit Shah speaks to News 18, and that will dominate the discourse this Thursday evening on The Right Stand. Hello, I'm Anand Narasimhan and here with The Right Stand podcast. And Amit Shah has perhaps over the years mastered the art of the interview. He will answer the question that he feels comfortable answering, but he will also answer the question that he doesn't want to answer in a way that you will think that you've got an answer. That seems to be his ability. But he did. He did sit there and take a slew of questions across economy, NRC, Jammu and Kashmir, security situation, Pakistan, terrorism, and of course his own personal interests. And I never knew that he was such a good chess player, and chess was such a strong interest of his, so much so that he was also involved with the Chess Foundation. But that also shows you how his mind works. And if you play chess, they say good politicians, good analysts, good strategists should always play chess, because chess makes you think and also makes you think about all the possible moves and think way ahead and plan way ahead of the opponent and the opposition. And that's something which Amit Shah and Narendra Modi and this combined seem to have been able to do over the last 5 to 6 years, if not more, ladies and gentlemen. But the subject matter today is focused on the upcoming polls in the state of Haryana and Maharashtra. Amit Shah coming out and making some very, very strong claims, especially with Maharashtra, saying that the BJP that is contesting in about 160-odd seats out of the 288 seats, remember, they've given about 124 to 126 seats to the Shiv Sena. Now, with this kind of a seating arrangement, with just about 160-plus seats to play with out of 288 in the Maharashtra Vidhan Sabha, Amit Shah says that the BJP may get majority numbers on its own. So the majority number is 145 seats. So he's confident of the BJP winning 145 plus seats. But he's more confident of the BJP Shiv Sena combined winning two-thirds of the seats in the state of Maharashtra. Now, if this is the situation on ground and if this happens, that means the opposition is totally wiped out. A scenario like this means we'll see the NCP and the Congress literally demolished, and one of the two disintegrating totally. These elections are also a do and die for the NCP. So this is going to add a lot of pressure. The Maharashtra Congress itself is very, very divided and is in disarray. But the Congress was able to weather out the storm created when Sharad Pawar walked out. May survive, albeit as a smaller opposition. But the NCP will have a huge question mark on its future. And Mr. Sharad Pawar's problems will only compound. The politics aside, there is also the aspect of Veer Savarkar. Vinayak Damodar Savarkar, or Veer Savarkar as he is very fondly known and in many parts of the country revered, especially in Maharashtra and some of the interior pockets of Maharashtra. Savarkar is a legend. Savarkar is nothing short of Mahatma Gandhi. Irrespective of what the history details and the fact that Veer Savarkar was one of the accused and named and charge-sheeted in the assassination of the Mahatma, where Nathuram Godse was convicted but Veer Savarkar was let off due to lack of evidence. This is what the Congress party wants to keep pointing out and saying, yeah, Savarkar may have done his bit for the freedom fight and he may be a nationalist, but Bharat Ratna, this is purely political. 6 years in power and suddenly you remember Savarkar. Suddenly, big, around the Maharashtra elections, you decide to put it in your manifesto. A similar reaction came from the Shiv Sena. But remember, none of them have come out and totally opposed Veer Savarkar like Rahul Gandhi did during the Lok Sabha elections. Here, we have to be very, very clear. The Congress party, many leaders within the Congress party itself will have Veer Savarkar's pictures there. The Maharashtra Assembly, the Parliament, everywhere Savarkar has not been ignored. Savarkar is an integral part of India's freedom struggle and the freedom story. The points of view may have been different between him and Mahatma Gandhi. The fact of the matter is Veer Savarkar believed in one country, one people, one culture. Very similar to the ideals of the BJP. Veer Savarkar was vociferous in his mood, in his opinion, in his love for the country. And his books are also very, very popular. So there are a lot of things going for Veer Savarkar, but then the Congress believes you're doing this on the 150th birth anniversary of the Mahatma. This is an insult to the Mahatma. Manish Tiwari and some of the others going ahead and saying, so you're trying to, by glorifying Savarkar, you're by default glorifying Godse too. Now, this is a politically convenient argument. Let's look at it this way. Should somebody who imposed emergency on our country in less than 30 years of independence be the Bharat Ratna? Should somebody who witnessed and oversaw and kept quiet when more than 3,000 Sikhs were being butchered on the streets of the national capital and about 10,000 of them across the length and breadth of the country be the Bharat Ratna? Should these people have been given and credited or adorned the highest civilian award of our country ahead of somebody like Sardar Vallabhbhai Patel, Subhash Chandra Bose? Think about it. Should somebody who won the country its first World Cup not be given the Bharat Ratna, but somebody else who retired just around the 2014 elections be given the Bharat Ratna because a certain leader believed that it will help them get votes among the youth across the country and also in Maharashtra? I'm not grudging anybody their Bharat Ratna, ladies and gentlemen. It's just the politics that I'm focusing on. So the politics has been played with the nation's highest civilian award across multiple areas. Nobody is absolutely faultless. Nobody can say that they have done nothing wrong. Mahatma Gandhi allowed the two-nation theory. Mahatma Gandhi allowed the partition. Freedom came at us very, very heavy cost to all of us. So do we discredit him for that, or do we credit him for his ideals? Do we venerate him for what he believed in, what he tried to espouse, and what the world learned from him and what we can learn from him? So do we focus on the positives or do we highlight the negatives? And we can do that with every single leader who is or isn't the Bharat Ratna. Every single public face who is or isn't the Bharat Ratna. So it's the point of convenience. Has the Congress walked into a trap here? Because the Prime Minister, while addressing a rally in Satara, turns around and tells the Maratha people, those who insult Savarkar don't believe he's a patriot. Satara should punish them. Maharashtra should punish them. From an electoral point of view, Savarkar unites among the Maratha community. The BJP is hoping that Savarkar and invoking Savarkar will kindle an emotional flame once again on the lines of nationalism, which has been their electoral strategy. The Congress is in disarray. Manmohan Singh says, Indira Gandhi issued stamps on Veer Savarkar. If that's the case, then those who call him a bhagoda, a coward, are they saying that their own family leader and their old erstwhile leader made a big mistake? Or are they saying, he's a nationalist, we can issue a stamp for him, bas, but no more than that. Bharat Ratna nahi. Where do you stand? Do you know your history? Would you want to just go back and see what is this man's contribution to India's freedom struggle? What is this man's approach to India? What does this man think and what he believed in his ideal of India? Where was it that the paths diverted or diverged between Mahatma Gandhi and all of these leaders who were also part of the Indian National Congress at that point in time? Veer Damodar Savarkar was part of the Garam Dal. He was involved with them, engaged with them. When did the breakaway happen? Was it purely because of the two-nation theory? Was it purely because there was a change in opinion of how freedom should be got and at what cost freedom should be got? And should the map of India have been altered in the first place? Was this the base of all the arguments? I leave you with that thought. Join us on the political face-off between the BJP and the Congress party soon after the Amit Shah interview. Tonight on The Right Stand. Bye for now.
The Right Stand with Anand Narasimhan.